Right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 this morning, and we'll be there in a few moments. But last week we asked the question with the beginning lesson, what if you only had 12 hours? What if you only had 12 hours? And along with that question, there was some homework that we gave for last week's lesson. And yes, each lesson is going to have homework. And encourage you to certainly take part in doing it. It'll just help you learn, or not necessarily learn, but help you to apply what we learn each week here about sharing our faith. And so last week, the homework was make a list of things you should care for and people you should speak to if you only had 12 hours to live. So I realize I probably didn't make it abundantly clear that this was going to be homework, but did anyone actually do a list last week? Anyone actually make that list last week?
Does a mental list count?
Yeah, a mental list counts. And so does anyone want to share one of that list? Ms. Rose, go ahead.
I have a friend that we've been friends for over 30 years, and I've been trying to witness to her, but every time I bring it up, she says to me, "Oh, I've read the Bible from cover to cover, and I don't really, it doesn't apply to me."
Mm.
And
you'll run into people like that, that they don't think that the Bible is for them, or that they're a sinner, or whatever the case may be, and you just got to keep after them, keep praying for them, keep looking for those opportunities to talk to them.
Well, and it's no coincidence that the Lord keeps crossing our paths.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I encourage us this week, make that list, 12 of list of things you should care for and people you need to talk to. And they're two different things. Things in your life that, you know, you care for, you know, family, friends, job, church, whatever it is in your personal circle that you care about, and make note about that. And also the people that you want to talk to, that you know they need Jesus, they need to be in church, whatever the case may be, and make that list. And then once you make that list, take a step. You know, God will speak to your heart about what you can do to witness to them. And then take that first step in witnessing to them. And then begin each day that you have, by asking the Holy Spirit to help you begin right where you are, because it can be a scary thing, especially if you're not used to sharing your faith or witnessing or inviting people to church. To go out there and kind of do it cold turkey, that can be a very, you know, scary thing. And so, that being said, this morning we move on to lesson number two. And this morning's lesson is Say So. Say So. And so we're there in Psalm 107. And who would like to read? Let's see. We have 9 verses to read. So who'd like to read verses 1 through 3, and then 4, 5, and 6, and then 7, 8, and 9? So I need 3 volunteers to read 3 different sections. All right, Miss Martha, verses 1, 2, and 3. Miss Rose, 4, 5, and 6. And then Miss Sue, 7, 8, and 9. All right, Miss... Yep.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south.
They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul faded in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress.
And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
All right. Thank you, ladies. And so, you know, we're talking about witnessing. We're talking about sharing our faith, telling other people, basically, at the end of the day, just what God, what Jesus, what the Holy Spirit has done for you, what he has done in your life to save your soul, to change your life, to set you on a new path. But, you know, oftentimes, and I once heard a pastor say that, you know, describe your job in the most boring of ways. And the pastor said, my job is to get up 52 weeks a year and give a glorified book report
on the same book.
And, obviously we know it's a little more than that. And the same is true when it comes to sharing our faith. The same is true when it comes to witnessing. Witnessing and sharing our faith is so much more than just, okay, we present facts about God, because it goes beyond just presenting facts about God. It goes into praising God to others by saying, hey, here's what God did for me. Here's what God did in my life. And if you'll give your life to him, here's what God can do in your life as well. And so, you know, those who have experienced the grace of God, we need to share that truth with someone else. We need to make much of Jesus. Matthew 12:34, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so if we have a grateful heart for what God has done for us, if we have a grateful heart for what God has done in our life, we need to speak that out of the overflow of a grateful heart. I mean, if we really stop to think about it and all the things God has done for us in our life, I mean, we couldn't begin to be quiet. We couldn't begin to shut up because of just how good God is. Psalm 147, verse 1, the Bible teaches us, praise is comely. Praise is comely. And what that means is that nothing is more beautiful, nothing is more special than someone who believes in God, someone who believes in Jesus Christ, that they're filled with gratitude, that they share that good news with others, that maybe they don't yet have that good news. Maybe they don't yet know anything about God or about Jesus or about the Holy Spirit or about church, or maybe they don't even know that, you know, where they're going to spend their eternity when they die and when they leave this earth. And our desire should be, like Titus 2:10 tells us, to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So everything that, you know, everything that is our life should in some way, somehow, point us back to Jesus, should point others to Jesus. I mean, you know, you think about your unsaved friends, your unsaved family, you know, you should look for those opportunities. You know, they're talking about some, and you're just able to drop little Jesus tidbits into those conversations. And you know, eventually, you know, they might even get tired of it. They might get sick of you. They might say, man, you're bringing up Jesus an awful lot lately, or church an awful lot lately. But that's what that verse in Titus means, that we adorn the doctrine of God in all things. And so today we want to look at this thought of say so. And our lesson aims there on your handout. We have three aims for this lesson this morning. Number one, and you have a fill in the blank for number one, to develop a heart of gratitude. To develop a heart of gratitude for God's goodness and mercy. And so the first fill in the blank there on your paper is that word gratitude. To develop a heart of gratitude for God's goodness and mercy. Number two, to identify the three parts of a complete Christian testimony. Identify the three parts of a complete Christian testimony. And then number three, to begin to speak from the heart about what Christ has done in our lives. And so that's our three aims with this morning's lesson. And so, you know, next to the Bible itself, the most powerful tool that any of us have in our spiritual toolbox, so to speak, is witnessing. And not just witnessing and reciting a bunch of facts, but our own personal testimony. Because if we can make it personal, then for another person, that can make it real. Because if we can point to specific times in our life that says that we can say, okay, this is how God has worked in my life, this is what God has done for me, then, in, you know, because there's a difference between, okay, you're a sinner, if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell, but if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was buried, he rose again, one day he's coming again, and if you put your faith and trust in him, he'll forgive you of your sins, he'll save you from your sins, and he'll take you to heaven someday. Those are the facts. And by no means, there's nothing wrong with the facts, but if we can take our personal testimony and tell somebody what God and Jesus has done for us, then it makes it real to that other person. Now, a testimony is just, well, before I tell you what a testimony is, anyone have an idea, the definition of a testimony?
Something somebody's done for you.
Absolutely.
That you had a good turnout.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Miss Martha and then Miss Rose. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ms. Rose?
Sometimes people won't hear what you say, but they will see what you do. I've seen it in the kids I've worked with, and I've seen it in outside people. My dad would stand in the barn door and watch our neighbor who claimed to be a Christian, and yet at the same time was fighting with everybody, and he would say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. He saw the actions. Didn't hear the words till later on. But a testimony is telling your story of what the Lord has done for you personally.
Absolutely. And all three great answers. And to sum it up, that's what it is. A testimony is simply your story. It's unique to you. Nobody else has your story. Nobody else has. Now, they might be similar, and you might run into somebody, and that's the great thing about the Christian walk. That's the great thing about the Christian life. You know, you might run into somebody that, you know, that they have that similar testimony, but still a bit different, but you have that common bond. But a testimony is just simply your story. And every believer, every Christian, every child of God has one. Everybody here this morning has a testimony of what God has done in your life. And no one can give it like you can, because it's yours and yours alone. And it's to be shared with others. It's not just to be bottled up and kept. It's not, you know, we often say, you know, if you had the cure to cancer, you wouldn't keep that bottled up. You'd get that out there to help and save as many people as you can. Well, you have the cure, spiritually speaking, for a spiritual cancer known as sin. And that's Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. And so why wouldn't we want to share that with other people? You know, the number one excuse that we use for not witnessing, for not sharing our faith, is that people, they say, well, we just don't know what to say. And I've been there, you know, where, you know, I grew up in a church where we went door to door with soul winning and visitation. And I mean, you talk about just, you know, going to a stranger's door, cold turkey, knocking on their door. Hello, I'm so-and-so from Lighthouse Baptist Church at Broad and Rittner. And we're just out today in the neighborhood inviting people to church, seeing if you have a church home. But more importantly than that, do you have a heavenly home? Do you know Jesus is your Savior? And that takes a lot of, you know, but no matter how, and we did that Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, and we'd go, we'd knock doors. Sometimes we'd just do little baggies with the Gospel of John and Romans and a tract. We do other different forms of outreach, but it's a very nerve-wracking thing, especially that those first couple doors, you just go up and you knock on somebody's door, because you don't know who's going to answer. You don't know if they're going to give you a good reception or whatever the case may be. And so sometimes we use that excuse, well, I just don't know what to say. But, you know, a personal testimony is always appropriate. What God has done for you is always appropriate, and that's a good starting point. And, you know, people will often argue with what a preacher says. They'll often argue with what a pastor says. But it's hard to argue with a changed life. It's hard to argue, you know, and maybe you've found this to be true. I know that, especially with my dad, we found it to be true, where, you know, you go to an old friend or an old colleague or a family member, and they say, you know, you might hear, man, there's something different about you now. You don't act the way you used to. You don't talk the way you used to. You don't do the things you used to. And well, why is that? It's the power of changed life. And if God has truly changed our life, that's eventually going to manifest itself outwardly. And so they can argue with and debate with a person, but they can't argue with a changed life. And so if they see your life has been changed, they can't argue with that. Now, they might come along and say, oh, it's, and we've heard this too, that, oh, it's not going to last long. It's just a phase. Eventually, they're going to go back to the same old way they used to be. And you know, and then when you don't, it's like, wow, this must be real. This must be genuine. This must be, it might be something I need to look into. And that's the power of a changed life. You know, in the Bible, religious leaders hated what Peter and John were teaching when the lame man was healed. But the Bible tells us in Acts 4:14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You know, and that's what the testimony of a transformed life can do. And that is why it is, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the most effective witness. The most effective witness. And so, you can write these verses down and look these up a little bit later, but you can use these verses for further study, and they have within them the common thread of testimony in each of them. Mark 5:19, the Bible says, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Luke 2:17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. John 4:39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Acts 3:6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Acts 4:20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Romans 1:16, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And then finally, 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Declare we unto you. And so go home, look up those verses, look up the verses surrounding them, and you'll get the context surrounding just the power of a changed life and what that can do for others around you. And so, again, we're there this morning, Psalm 107. And who'd again like to read verses 1 and 2 for us this morning? Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Lucas, go ahead. All right. Thank you there, buddy. And so these are the two verses we want to focus in on this morning and hone in on here this morning from Psalm 107. And as we do, there's a couple questions that I want you to ask yourself. Number one, have you had your sins forgiven? Do you know the Lord Jesus in a personal way? Has the love of God become real to you? And is heaven your destination and Christ your companion? Now, if you can say yes to all those questions, are your sins forgiven? Do you know Jesus in a personal way? Has the love of God become real to you? Are you going to heaven and is Christ your companion? If you can say yes to those, then we have a responsibility to say so. And that's where the idea of the lesson this morning comes from. Say so if you have the answer to those questions. The context that we find here in Psalm 107 is very simply a testimony psalm. And so this is talking to us today about God's redemptive power, especially in the first at least 9 to 16 verses that we looked at. And it's a song of Israel's deliverance. And if you go back to the previous song, Psalm 106, you realize that it actually begins in that psalm, in Psalm 106. And these are psalms where we find great joy, we find thankfulness, and witnessing. And when we think about sharing our faith and telling others about what God has done for us, about what Jesus has done for us, and what the Holy Spirit has done for us, we realize that it should be done out of a heart of gratitude. It should be done in a spirit of joy. And so sometime between now and next week, read through this entire psalm, the entire 107th psalm. And what you will find is you will find stages in Israel's history. And you will find those stages in Israel's history. You will find God's repeated mercies in every circumstance. And we can relate to that, can't we? That when you and I, we wake up on any given morning, we get started any given morning, or we go throughout our day, our week, our month, and maybe we mess up, we sin, we fall, we falter, we fail. And each step of the way, each stage of our life, we find God's mercies. God's mercies are there with us each and every circumstance. And so, again, every believer's testimony, no matter who it is, it's different. It's your testimony and your testimony alone. But even though they're different, every believer's testimony has similarities. Now, again, the details might vary, but the truth remains. And that is that our story is all about God's mercy in our lives. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about, God's mercy in our life. And so look there on your paper, there, your handout, and we find that there are three parts of a complete Christian testimony. The first, of course, being the story of our life before Christ. And that's the most difficult, before we knew Christ, before we know God, before we got saved, when we were still living in sin. But then the second is the story of how we came to know Christ. And that's the most important, because if we did not come to know Christ, well, then we're still living in that first part, that part before we knew Christ. And that's not the part we want to be in. We want to get to the part where we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see the third part, and that's the story of what Christ means to us now that we are saved. And unfortunately, that is oftentimes the most neglected part of our story, because oftentimes we become guilty of keeping to ourselves what God has done for us and what Christ has done for us. And so these three parts are clearly seen in the testimony of the psalmist here in Psalm 117. So number one there on your paper, or in your handout, the Christian witness should say that they were once lost. The Christian witness should say that they were once were lost. And so that fill in the blank there is the word lost. The word lost. And so the condition of Israel before her deliverance provides for us a very vivid picture of what our life was like apart from God. Verse number 2 again, and Lucas read that, it said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You see, before receiving Christ, you and I, we were in bondage to the enemy. We were slaves to the enemy. And the word redeemed there, that means to buy back. And that's exactly what Christ did for us when he died for our sins. It was his precious blood which purchased us by paying the price in full. Who'd like to read there verses 3 and 4? Psalm 107, verses 3 and 4 this morning. Miss Martha, go ahead.
"And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in."
All right, so here we see, again, another parallel, that before receiving Christ, before trusting him as Savior, you and I, we were searching. We were searching for something to fill the emptiness. That word there in verse number 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. The word solitary there, it's a reminder that without God, we are very much alone in this world. Now, you might have friends, you might have family, you might have a spouse, you might have co-workers, you might have a dog, a cat, a parakeet. You might have, a great circle of friends, but at the end of the day, if we don't have God, no matter how many people we surround ourselves with, we find ourselves that in some way, we're still solitary. In some way, we're still by ourselves. In some way, we're still alone. And King Solomon testified that life without God, Ecclesiastes 1:14, he said, is vanity. That word vanity means emptiness. And it's also vexation of spirit. It's also vexation of spirit. That word vexation means it weighs on you. You think about in the Old Testament with the story of Lot. And when you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says it vexed his righteous soul. It means it weighed heavy on him. And, you know, being alone and being solitary, you know, that weighs on you. Because the Lord, God never designed us to be an island. He never designed us to go at it alone. And so we see that before Christ, we had an emptiness. We were very much alone in this world. And then who'd like to read there? Verse number 5. Verse number 5. Psalm 107 and verse number 5. Ms. Martha, go ahead.
Psalm 107, verse 5. "Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them."
All right. And so, again, we see that before receiving Christ, you know what we were? We were hungry. We were thirsty. Maybe you're here this morning, you didn't have breakfast, you're hungry. Maybe you didn't have something to drink. Maybe you're thirsty this morning. Well, before receiving Christ, you were hungry. You were thirsty in your soul. And we see that it's only Christ. It's only God that can satisfy. And so here's some tips for sharing our testimony. Number one, don't give your entire life story. Nobody cares about your entire life story, at least not when you're first meeting them. They don't care that at 4 years of age, you wet the bed until you were 5. And then at 5 years of age, you started becoming a big boy or a big girl. And then as you went into year 6. And no, nobody cares about that. Don't share your entire life story. Stay on that subject of salvation. Keep it very precise. Keep it very narrow. Do not share sordid details about your life and sin. You know, sometimes we get into the trap. Well, here's what God saved me from. He saved me from drinking and drugs and, you know, chasing after strange women and all. Listen, who said men?
Or men.
Or men, yeah, or chasing after strange men. And, you know, but, you know, when we're sharing our testimony, the idea should be to glorify God, not our sin, not what God saved us from. And so when we're sharing our testimony, you know, say, yes, you know, I struggled with some things, and this is what God saved me from, but always bring the glory back to God. And then the third tip is, you know, and I'm perhaps, you know, the most guilty of this here because it comes a little bit more naturally to me. But don't be guilty of using religious jargon. Don't be guilty of using, you know, religious and you know, churchy talk and churchy phrases and, you know, all that. You know, explain your terms and speak in an understandable way. You know, just like, you know, you have a conversation with a fellow Christian, a fellow believer, and it's, you know, it's normal, it's everyday conversation. That's what somebody who doesn't know Christ needs too. That's what somebody who doesn't yet know God needs as well. Just, you know, keep it understandable. Keep it on a level that, you know, they pick up on it. You know, when dealing with kids and we try and explain the word sin, well, sin is anything bad that you think, say, or do. That's a simple definition of sin. Now, we can get more into the theology of it. Well, sin is the transgression of the law. Well, if you're going up and you're talking to an unsaved person, well, then not only are you going to have to define sin, well, you say, I define sin. It's a transgression of the law. Well, then you have to define transgression, and then you have to define the violation of what law? And it gets into a whole, basically, a whole Bible study within a Bible study, when all you're really trying to do is share your faith and what Christ has done for you. You know, for example, you say, you know, we're all sinners. Well, and they say, well, what's sin? Well, when you were a kid, did your parents ever tell you to clean your room? And you didn't clean your room? Well, what did you do? You disobeyed your parents. Well, that's sin. That's what sin is. It's disobedience to God. And so find a way to relate in an understandable way. But then number two this morning, and there in your handout, the Christian witness should say that they came to know the Lord. The Christian witness should say that they came to know the Lord. Psalm 107 and verse 6, who'd like to read that there? Psalm 107, verse 6. Miss Rose, go ahead.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Rose. And you'll notice in your handout, there's other verses that we're not necessarily going to in reading. Take this home. Read them. Look them up. You have some lines there to write down thoughts and questions and things like that. And so make use of that this week. And so, you know, at the end of the day, though, when we think about people, all people are saved the same way. It doesn't matter, old, young, white, black, Chinese, boy, girl, man, woman. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, all people are saved the same way. Number one, they recognize their condition apart from God, and that's a sinner. Number two, they call upon the Lord in faith, and then they are delivered by God alone. You notice there in verse number 6 again, and you notice that phrase, out of. That phrase, out of, that's a reminder that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us from so much. He saved us from sin. He saved us from ourselves. He saved us from the devil. He saved us from death. He saved us from eternal judgment in hell. And we always must remember that salvation is of the Lord. That salvation is of the Lord. And so as we think about that this morning, some more tips on sharing our testimony. Speak more about Christ than you do about yourself. Again, the idea is to glorify God. The idea is to glorify Christ. So always bring the conversation back to Him. Always bring the conversation back to God. Refrain from talking about yourself as much as possible. The testimony, yes, while it's your story, it's ultimately still about him. It's still ultimately about God. It's still ultimately about Jesus. Number two, don't major on the minors. Don't major on the minors. What do we mean by that? Well, the circumstances surrounding how you got saved, they're not really as important as the truth that you came to understand. Well, it was back in 1956 at the Sayre First Baptist Church. I was sitting on the right side of the sanctuary, the third pew from the back. We had yellow hymn books with black Bibles. The carpet was green. The pastor preached for an hour and 4 minutes. The service went an hour and 30 minutes. At the end of the service, the pastor gave an invitation. I felt a stirring. I went up to the altar. Pastor asked me what I was there for. I told him I was there to get saved. He opened his Bible to 10 different passages. Here's all the passages. Let's read. That's not important. You're majoring on the minors. No one cares what the color hymn book was. Nobody cares that the pastor preached an hour and 4 minutes, except for the people that were there when he preached an hour and 4 minutes.
I'm still stuck on the green rugs.
The green. Oh, yeah, they used to be green. There are photos of the... In fact, I think in the office there, you can see remnants of the green rugs. But don't major on the minors. What you need to major on is what Christ has done for you. And then give the gospel plainly. The story of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. That's more, again, your testimony is your story, but his story is the most important. And explain how the person you're speaking to can call upon the Lord themselves. And then thirdly and finally, this morning there on your handout, the Christian witness should say that they now have new life. The Christian witness should say that they now have new life. Who'd like to read there verse 7, 8, and 9? Verse 7, 8, and 9. Brother Kenny, go ahead. Psalm 107, verses 7, 8, and 9.
And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go in a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
All right. Thank you there, Brother Kenny. And so we see here, again, and again, this is where we get in trouble because we think salvation is the ending. But salvation is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of what Christ has done for us. And the deliverance here in Psalm 107, it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. And Christ not only saves us from something, but he saves us for something. Because now we have new life in him. Verse 7 again tells us that Christ now leads our life in the right way. Now this doesn't mean that we're always going to do what's right. Right? Because we still struggle. But what it does mean is that even when we're not doing everything that's right, he still is doing everything that is right. Verse 7, it talks about a city of habitation. And that's what Christ has become for us. Christ is now a city of habitation for us. There's a perfect place being prepared for us that will be our eternal home. And it's so much different than where we are down here. And then verse number 9, Christ now brings peace and purpose to our life. Our salvation is not just something in the future, but it is present tense. It's something that we possess right now, right where we all are. We are saved right here and right now. And so a good testimony is always present tense because God is present tense. He's always there with us each step of the way. So again, some more testimony tips as we think about sharing our testimony. Don't give people the idea that you're perfect. Don't give people the idea that your life after salvation is now seemingly without trouble. Because sometimes we fall into that trap where we think, oh man, if I just give my life to God, if I just give my life to Jesus, everything's going to be perfect from here on out. That's not true. You're still going to have troubles and trials and tribulations and heartaches and sorrow. So don't try and say, you know, man, if you just give your life to God, if you just give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be better. I mean, who wouldn't then make some profession of faith if you present it that way? So don't do that. Secondly, make much of the blessings of your new life in Christ. So while you don't necessarily present it as, man, your life is going to be perfect and without trouble. No, but make sure you emphasize that now that you have given your life to Christ, that there have been blessings as a result. There have been, you know, rewards as a result. There has been, you know, you can see a difference before and after giving your life to Christ. Because, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes people look at salvation, well, it's just a, you know, it's just a fire escape from hell or get out of hell free card. But salvation is much more than that. Being saved and putting our faith in Christ is so much more that. And we need to speak of the things, Hebrews 6:9, the Bible tells us, speak of the things that accompany salvation. Because after salvation, there are some things that come along with it. And then thirdly, speak with a sincere and joyful spirit. Because nothing is more attractive than a happy Christian. You know, you think, would somebody want what you have if you come up to them and say, you know, no smile on your face, scowling. Well, you're a sinner, you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell if you don't give your life to Jesus. And it's just such a joy. Who's going to want that? You know, and Christians are the most guilty of this. We look like, sometimes we look like the most depressed individuals on the planet sometimes. But if we just stop to remember what Jesus has done for us. Listen, it doesn't change necessarily the circumstances we're going through. But it does make the circumstances a whole lot easier. And we need to make sure that we present that to other people. You notice that, you know, that enthusiasm in verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, the Apostle Paul, as you read about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he repeatedly gave his salvation testimony throughout his life. Even when standing before kings, even standing before those that could end his life, his standard message included how he came to know the true and living God. It's said of Charles Spurgeon, who was known as the Prince of Preachers, that he gave his salvation testimony over 300 times in his recorded sermons. He never seemed to get tired of it. He never seemed to get tired of telling how Christ had changed his heart. The old story was always fresh. Gypsy Smith once said, there are 5 gospel records of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the believer. Most people will never read the first 4, but they will read your life, and they will read my life. And for some people, you'll be the only Bible they ever see. You'll be the only Bible they ever read. You'll be the only gospel that they ever hear. And the question is, what gospel are they getting? And so here's the application. You have it there on your handout. The next step. What can we do? Well, number one, and this is where your homework for the week comes in. And on the back of your page, you see another part of the handout there. Number one, write out the 3 parts of your personal testimony. Number one, my life before receiving Christ. Number two, how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And number 3, what Christ means to me now that I am saved. And then next week, what we're going to do is we're going to practice giving your testimony here in Sunday school. And so get it on paper and come prepared, ready to share it next week. But also beyond that, practice giving your testimony to a family member or close friend, and speak to them as you would someone who knows nothing about Christ. And then the third step, give your testimony to at least one unsaved person between now and next Sunday. And so ask the Lord this week, Lord, give me somebody this week that's unsaved, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and help me to share my testimony. And so again, this morning, if you know Christ as your Savior, if you know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, if the love of God has become real to you, if heaven is your home and Christ is your companion, then this week, say so. And tell somebody else about Jesus this week. Ms. Rose?
That last part of Christ needs to be done unsaved. For me, that's going to take 3 pages.
Hey, go for it.
I got saved when I was 10, and I'm 62 now, so I've rocked the Lord my whole life, and I ain't making no space there.
Absolutely.
And then another thing is, I like to study and look up the life of E.L. Moody.
Yep.
When I get to heaven, he's one guy I want to meet. He never introduced himself first. He always introduced the Lord. He'd always say to somebody, "Can I tell you about my friend Jesus? Have you met Jesus?" And to me, that is really neat. I'm not famous to do it that way, but he never introduced himself first.
Absolutely. And so, but this week, Christ has done something for you, then say so. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?